Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. It's been a while since we've had a show on Monday morning with Christmas and New Year's and all that jazz, which means it's been a while since we've spoken with our good friend Corey Curtis. We do that now. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. Happy New Year. It's good to talk with you again.
It's amazing you guys still have a show. The fact that you've survived my absence for this long is stunning.
Really is. I'm glad we
could
power through.
It got dicey, man.
It did get dicey.
Yeah, a little bumpy. I understand.
It's all back to normal now.
Yeah. The Packers beating the Bears. I mean, Titans beating the Jaguars. Yeah. Everything's back to normal.
Everything's back to normal. So what did you make of that game yesterday, Corey? The Titans keep the Jacksonville Jaguars out of the playoffs. Derrick Henry has a vintage Derrick Henry game. And, man, that was a lot of fun to watch for number 22.
It was. And also, you know, I think, you know, the thing that you watch, again, and you just say if the offensive line could have just been average this year, this team could have won the division. But they weren't average. And yesterday they were physical. They got a surge. The Jags, I thought, looked disinterested on defense at times. And they took advantage of it. And, you know, they had 21 points on the board at halftime. And you could argue they certainly, you know, could have finished the game with more. But, yeah, it just showed, you know, if that group can perform, that he can still perform. You know, he's a different kind of back. There's no doubt about it. But he can definitely still play. And, you know, what they would have picked fifth if they lost and seventh with winning. I mean, guys, there's got to be a good player at seven. And I know how fans feel. But knocking the Jags out of the playoffs, especially after last year, I don't know. To me, that's worth it.
Yeah. Well, and look, we know how I don't want to do draft talk, but just quickly. You went there, Corey.
You're getting in there.
I'll go quickly. But we know how quarterbacks often find their way higher in the draft than they are projected now. So I think one of those tackles is absolutely possible at seven. We'll see. But on the Derrick Henry front, Corey.
Yeah.
I thought he was amazing on the field. I thought he also absolutely dunked on. I mean, he was amazing afterward, like dropped the mic, presser, speech to the fans, all that stuff. He also said things that if you just isolated this comment or this comment, you could come away thinking he's absolutely out of here or, boy, he really wants to come back. But what do you think his mindset is?
Well, I think he's a professional, and I think he knows the reality, and that is, you know, most of the time in this situation, guys aren't back. And so I think Joe, you and I are old, so we've been doing this a long time.
True.
I don't remember many games where it felt like a farewell quite as much as that one, you know, from him, you know, blowing kisses to the fans before the game to the speech after the game and the post game presser, you know, it just had more of a goodbye to it than anything. I mean, he stayed after the game and signed autographs for an hour outside the stadium. I mean, there was just so much that, you know, was preparing for this to be the end. You know, they've got a ton of cap space. I think he can certainly play a role on this team moving forward at a lower number if he'd be willing to take it. It's just a matter of what they want to do. But it certainly had that feel. And you're right. I mean, to sit there and list off everyone in the facility by my first name to say thank you was really impressive. You know, everything that he did yesterday was really, really good, except for finishing the 69-yard run.
So what does this mean for Mike Vrabel? Titans are 6-11. You know, obviously 2 years in a row they've missed out on the playoffs. There's been a lot of smoke, a lot of noise around the Vrabel part of this. You know, we've talked about this. Not that this is the be-all, end-all, but right now there's not a press coverage scheduled today for Vrabel, which is interesting. What do you make of what this all means for Vrabel?
Well, I mean, he's 6-18 in his last 24. And, you know, we can all think he's a good coach. That number is unescapable. Inescapable, however you want to say it, whatever the right way would be preferable.
I think inescapable.
Inescapable, you know. And so, you know, for ownership, that may be, you know, the ultimate, and we have to sit and wait and see on that. And so we'll see, you know, where they go. Nothing will surprise me at this point. You know, especially, you know, after J-Rob getting fired last year. And like I said, you know, I remember Jared would always grill me about David Poyle. You know, what would I do? And I would do the same thing I would do with every coach or every GM. I want to know what their plan is. You know, what's your plan moving forward to get better? You know, are we in alignment on what that plan, you know, should be? Are you realistic about what that plan should be? And I can't imagine that he doesn't have a realistic idea of how to get there. But we'll have to wait and see. You know, I'm not going to read too much into there not being a media session today. Maybe I should. I don't know.
Can you recall that?
Joe, I'm 53. I don't recall much anymore.
Okay, we keep coming back to how old we are. Yeah. Like, yeah. I can remember stuff from 1987 really well, but 2017, hell no.
Can't do it.
Yeah, you know, trying to say what's normal and what isn't anymore, to me, is tough to do, because when Kevin Beyer got traded, I thought the GM should have been there to answer questions about it.
Yep.
I mean, that wasn't normal.
Jinx.
So, you know, what's normal, what's not normal in this situation, I don't know. I don't know. And so, yeah, I'll go ahead. I don't think it is entirely normal that he's not answering questions, and maybe we should look into that. I probably should look into it harder than I am. I think as the hours have gone by in the last 24 to 48 hours, I have looked harder at it and thought more realistically that, you know, there could be a change even when I thought nothing was coming.
Corey, what about the Tannehill front? I mean, he was letting it fly yesterday in the post-game press conference, which was pretty funny to watch, but just how his tenure as a Titan should be remembered, and what do you think the future looks like for Tannehill?
Well, it was a really Tannehill performance yesterday. It was 17 of 26, 170 yards, two scores, and a turnover that almost lost the game. I mean, when he threw that pick, we were all just like, oh, gosh, we've been here before. and the guy made a great play. I mean, he did. And so, you know, Cisco, that's fun to say, Cisco.
Nice.
He made a nice play. But, you know, it's refreshing to hear people speak. And I understand why they don't, but it's refreshing to hear, you know, the truth come out, you know, from people. And it was interesting when he was asked about, you know, the possibility of coming back, and he was like, well, guys, we all saw what happened. That's you know, just understand, you know, he got replaced, and you know, he let the sting of that out a little bit, and the humanity of that is always interesting to see. Like, I certainly think he can play. I certainly think he can start. He would be a 1A backup in this league, but I don't know that anybody's going to want to be moving forward with a quarterback of his age and his ability, you know, as your number one plan. I think he has a really strong plan as a backup or a starter for a rookie drafted, you know, really high until he's ready. But I think absolutely.
Yeah, like I said earlier, like I would bet that he will start for someone to start next season, but it's not like, I mean, there's no fan base in the NFL. It's like, oh man, Tannehill, that's the answer, right? I mean,
yeah,
but I still think he Goff right now looks really good. Goff has fantastic support around him. I don't think there's a huge difference between those two. But some people would say Jared Goff's a way better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. What's that?
How old is Goff?
Goff's younger. I mean, Goff was the number one pick in 2016, so he's 5 years younger. But
yeah, that's considerable.
They're both young in quarterback age, though, right?
No, they're not.
No, I wouldn't call Tannehill young in quarterback age.
Yeah, but the Brady has changed what that means, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, but Brady's level of play stayed higher longer.
That's true.
That is true. But Joe's a Tom Brady hater, so he won't admit that. Tom Brady's the 37th best quarterback.
He's goaded, man. He's goaded. He's almost as good as Dan Fouts. He was fantastic.
He was a product of Belichick's genius,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Belichick has proven with all the other quarterbacks he has succeeded so mightily with that he was entirely the source for Brady's greatness.
You're right.
By the way, how about Belichick having an early morning breakfast presser before he gets fired or whatever?
Way early this morning.
That's so typical of him. He usually does like some of the stuff really, really early sometimes. He probably never left the building last night.
Probably not. Corey, great to have you back on the program here today. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week. Going to be an interesting week here.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to say from a selfish front, I hope there's not a coaching change because I'm tired.
It's too much energy.
God, I'm so with you.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey.
Bye-bye.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. We'll take your thoughts on what Corey had to say. We'll get into Derrick Henry's performance against Jacksonville coming up next. Of course, we'll continue to monitor Black Monday in the NFL with firings coming in across the league. We'll keep you updated on what this could mean for Mike Vrabel as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. Titans win yesterday 28-20 to close out the regular season. They knock Jacksonville out of the playoff race. So Jacksonville goes from 8-3 with, I believe, around a 98% chance to make the playoffs to out yesterday. Quite a collapse from them, very reminiscent of the Titans a year ago. And that's got to feel pretty good for Titans fans to knock Duval out of the playoffs.
Any chance you remember what the Titans' percentage chance of winning the division was when they were 7-3 and they got on the plane from Green Bay?
I don't think it was 98%, but it was like 90.
It was in the 90s.
One or two, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. Good memory. Just like Corey Curtis said. Yeah, man.
A lot of memory going on.
What was breakfast yesterday? Don't know.
Derrick Henry, fun to watch yesterday. 19 carries, 153 yards, 8.1 yards per carry, had the touchdown. For some reason, they had the ball on the 2-yard line or the 3-yard line or whatever it was and didn't put him in and let Tajay Spears run that one in for a touchdown, which I was screaming at my television.
Yeah. Come on, Tim Kelly.
What are you doing? What are you doing? He's right there. Put him in.
But they don't expect Spears to get the ball. They expect Derrick to get the ball.
I don't care.
Yes. No, I'm with you.
But a vintage performance from Derrick Henry yesterday. Fun to watch. And then, you know, he takes the microphone after the game, addresses the crowd in the stadium, has a lot of really good things to say in his press conference yesterday where I think he thanked each individual member of the organization by name, which was fun to watch. Well, overall, your thoughts on Derrick Henry, the day that was yesterday, and if that's it, what a way to go out for number 22.
Yeah. You really can't write it much better than that, you know. I mean, there was at a certain point yesterday, I'm like, he's going for two bills today. He is going for two bills. And it slowed down a little bit. The Titans didn't have a lot of the football, actually, in the second half. And also, you know, they were very excited when they drew that offsides penalty right after Trevor Lawrence. I thought initially stretched it over, got in. You could see on the replay, just you got to stretch a little bit more there. It was close, but it's like, and I tweeted this too, like, you have to run. I don't care if they stop you at the line of scrimmage. You have to run three straight plays with Derrick Henry at the one against the Jaguars, right? You have to try.
Yeah.
So they get all excited. They draw a defensive offsides, and now you screw up the whole
thing.
There's
the 99-yarder. It's gone.
If they would have not gotten the offsides, they probably would have had a 99-yard touchdown from Derrick Henry, but we'll never know.
We'll never know.
But in all seriousness, he was fantastic. I thought he ran – look, I thought the offensive line did have some really good run blocking moments yesterday. If you go back and watch some of those runs, I'd say Brewer, Skoronski, and Andre Dillard in particular on some of those runs going left, they had some really good blocks he ran off them, but he ran hard. The fact that he had the big one, it's the first big one he's had since before he fractured the foot. I wasn't sure he had that in him. And, of course, he made a joke saying I'm old because he didn't score on that. But, yep. I mean, 69 yards, nice. So it was a great day, and then he couldn't have been better after the game. Like, truly, a guy who has never been a lover of press conferences, but he had a lot of things to say, and pretty much everything he said was awesome.
Well, and I'm with you. Like, I think a lot of people took it as a farewell yesterday, and I kind of read it as, hey, in case this is farewell, Just want you guys to know how much I appreciate it and all those things, which is cool because you don't see that happen a lot. Now, granted, you don't see a ton of players like Derrick Henry either, but, you know, I thought it was cool that he recognized the moment. And, again, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen here with him moving forward, but really cool that he recognized the moment and took the opportunity to address it yesterday, both with the crowd and with the media after.
Yeah, someone made this point on Twitter yesterday. Someone just made it now in the text line. Speaking of bong brain, I was totally going to put this in my column yesterday, and I totally forgot. And now I forgot it again, but now I remember. Forsberg totally had a goodbye, right? Kind of a farewell thing, waving everybody just in case.
Yeah.
Didn't know. We didn't know. I mean, if you know it's possible and you want to express appreciation, then you better do it when you have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, Pecorine, that kind of felt like he knows, right?
Yeah, he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's
different situations.
Different situations, but I thought it was really cool, really well done by Henry yesterday. And like I said, on the ground, 19 carries, 153 yards. It was a vintage Derrick Henry performance. It gets him up, you know, over 1,100 yards for the season, kind of closing in on 1,200 yards. And he finishes now in his career, he's less than 500 yards away from 10,000 for his career. We've talked about that number and what that means in terms of, you know, the Hall of Fame race and all those things. But, you know, behind that offensive line to put up 1,100 yards again. And the other thing that continues to stand out to him, about him, Joe, is, you know, beyond that one injury, which was just kind of a freak thing with the fracture of the foot in Indy on the turf, the durability of this dude is unreal. Like, as he gets older, you know, the workload wasn't as much this year, which I think was the plan for the Titans. He finishes with 280 carries, which when you think about that and what he was on pace for in 2021 before he got hurt, which is around like 430 carries, it's a significant drop-off. But 17 games again for a position where it's really hard to get through 17 games healthy, and that guy continues to do it even at 30 years old.
Pretty remarkable. And I watch him run yesterday, and I'm like, man, I'd really like to see that guy right now in his current state with a good offensive line, with a good passing game, and what that would mean. He's going to help someone next year. I don't know that he's going to have a huge season wherever he is, but he's going to help. He's going to be a factor for someone. And he ends up number two in the NFL in rushing.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's pretty wild.
I mean, his average per carry went up, I think, 0.3 yesterday.
Yeah.
He ends up 4.2 per carry, and he ends up with 1167. Only Christian McCaffrey with 1459 beats him. So he's first or second. Like,
it's pretty wild.
Does that mean – so, no, he obviously was not – yeah, he wasn't on the list in 21 because he was sub 1,000. But other than that year, he's first or second every year.
Yeah.
Since 19. How about that?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. How we doing?
Yeah, hey, what's up, Robbie? What's up, Joe?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, Joe, I'm going to start calling you Speaker of the House, man. You long-winded, Joe. I'm sitting here waiting and waiting and
filibuster?
Waiting.
I'm filibustering.
Yeah, I know you are, Joe. But, you were talking about Derrick Henry. He had a great game. I hadn't heard it really mentioned. But, you know, Joe, he did break Earl Campbell's record. Earl had 40 100-yard games for the franchise. Derrick Henry had 41.
Yeah.
That was a great record for him to break. I had been a big Tannehill fan, but Joe, I'm gonna give him credit. He played good yesterday. He played better than expected. I thought he really managed the game really well. D-Hop had a great game yesterday. Of course, he had some incentives out there. I don't know if he collected on all of them.
Two of three.
Yeah, two of three. Yeah, but he had a great game. The offensive line, Joe, played better than any time I've ever seen them play this year. I don't know if Jobs was on the line. I don't know what made them play strong, but they played good. Even Andre Dillard, you have to give him credit. He gave up some sacks, but he played good. He played physical. He played strong. Like you said, Brewer, Staronsky, and all those guys, they played one heck of a game, and they knocked Jacksonville out. Remember, first of the year, I told you Jacksonville was going to win that division. I was wrong. They knocked them out of the playoffs. But overall, man, they played a good game yesterday. And I don't know if Henry will be back. Like you said, he'll be a good back for another team, a contending type team, maybe a chance to get to a Super Bowl. Maybe he can get to those 10,000 yards and get in the Hall of Fame. I think he is Hall of Fame worthy. And had he not got hurt with that foot injury that year, he would have been Hall of Fame regardless and maybe got 2,000 yards. Before I go, Robbie, let's go with the Packers this Sunday, Robbie, against Dallas.
Ooh, baby.
You got your quarterback. You got your quarterback, Robbie. Love looks good. You got to admit it. Yeah, you got your quarterback. So let's roll with the Pack this weekend,
That's
Robbie.
Right.
Upset, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. Let Dak and them go home and have a controversial offseason like they always do.
I like it.
Go Pack, go.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Hey, y'all have a good one, man.
You too, buddy.
You know what? If the Packers get another great quarterback, it's such BS. Like, I don't have any big issue with the Packers now that freaking, you know, thief Brett Favre and weirdo conspiracy dude Aaron Rodgers are gone. But, like, if Jordan Love ends up a great quarterback, what, that is such BS.
I mean, first year as a starter, get him to the playoffs with the youngest roster in league history that's made the playoffs, 4,100 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 picks, 72 yards per attempt. He's pretty good.
Good God. What does Ryan from Chicago think? Is he sad? Did you talk some trash to him?
Sure did.
Is he driving with Michelle right now?
I don't know.
The 93 hours from New York to New Orleans? He's got to sit there and stew on that loss.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on Derrick Henry coming up next. Plus, what does the future hold for Mike Vrabel as head coach of the Tennessee Titans? Some interesting rumblings on that front. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. I got your chance to qualify to win a massive Preds prize pack that includes two tickets to the January 9th game, which is tomorrow, at Bridgestone Arena against the Anaheim Ducks, Lexus Lounge access, two Preds packs, and a $50 credit to BetMGM. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Caller 3 will qualify to win that Preds prize pack, which will be selected tomorrow. So 615-737-1025 for your chance to qualify to win the Preds prize pack. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Brought to you by Medical House Calls and Chuck McDowell, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. So, Joe, we've talked about it all morning long. And still, as of 8:30 right now, at least not that I've seen, let me know if you've heard differently. No press conference currently scheduled for Mike Vrabel today, which is interesting. Noteworthy would probably be the term I would use. It is noteworthy that there is currently no press conference scheduled with Mike Vrabel. Now, they could schedule one here in 10 minutes, and then I guess it's not noteworthy. But right now, it's noteworthy. Players in the open locker room, I believe at 10:15 this morning, but as of now, nothing with Vrabel.
Maybe his plan is to just show up in the locker room and talk and make sure no one's getting a haircut while they talk to this end of season. Kind of show that he has control of this locker room.
And we saw proof that he had lost the locker room yesterday with the way that they played post-haircut. You know?
Yeah, right, yeah. Speaking of that, just totally different topic, which I just responded to, but Tyler was like, the whole, of course the players give maximum effort because the sport is violent is a terrible argument. Then he gives this really long explanation about, like, surgeons and pilots have drank alcohol before they do the job, and it's like, sorry for your trouble, or congratulations, I'm not reading all that. But my point to Tyler, as I said to him, like, they didn't quit. Everybody talked about quitting. They didn't quit. The Titans, they executed. They obviously prepared for the game. So it's not just, you know, they played hard. But I do believe that in the NFL, there's a certain level of intensity and physicality and effort that you have to. If not get hurt, you'll be embarrassed, right? Like, it's inherent in the sport.
Well, the thing also, like, other than your select few guys, a lot of people on the field yesterday for the Titans are trying to stay in the league.
Well, there's
right?
that too. Like, I mean, most guys on the field, guys on the field in an NFL game are trying to stay in the league.
Yeah,
so, that's like, really what the that's what it is.
Well, and with you're just dogging it out there all the time. The way the contract structure is set up in the NFL, they'll cut you, man. Just move on and go do something else.
Yes.
So yeah, I think for the most part, you see guys play with a heavy amount of effort. So, scale of 1 to 10, how much are we reading into Vrabel not having a press conference, or at least at the moment not being scheduled for one? I'll go 7.5.
You're going to make me go scale. Well, what? Okay, wait. But what do you mean? So, 7.5 what?
Well, I think it's a big deal. I think it's noteworthy that he's not in there. Like, there are some people that think that, it's no big deal at all. And, Corey Curtis earlier said maybe he should be reading into it more than he is. But it's weird to me that he's not having, at least at the moment, not scheduled to have a press conference today.
Yeah. I guess I'll join you in a 7.5. Jinx. Yeah, like Zach
7.25.
Yeah. Zach points out that last year he had his end of season availability 2 days after the season finale, but it's Monday. I mean, Monday of the
final. They played Saturday last year, though, right? To close out the
year. Yeah, that's what I think that's his point. Like, it was 2 days later, but I think, you know, essentially, for the most part, teams have these things today.
Yeah.
They have locker room cleanout, and the coach talks. And sometimes the GM talks, but the coach talks. So, yes. I'm here we are at 8:35. Yeah. I think that people should have an open mind about what may happen today. May or may not happen today.
But an open mind. I agree. I mean, Diana Russini threw this out there earlier. So, this morning, Ron Rivera has been fired by Washington. You know, we knew that the Panthers' job was already open, but they fired their general manager. Arthur Smith got fired by the Falcons last night. So, right now, the Raiders have an opening, the Panthers, the Chargers, the Falcons, and the Commanders. Those are the openings in the NFL.
We got right Commanders. Now. Is someone? Did Nick just give us the Commanders?
Yeah, George Shultz put after it out there. They're after Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So
they won't be alone.
They will not be alone. And he, you know, that game's tonight, which you and I think, both believe could be the last time we see Jim Harbaugh coaching for Michigan tonight, regardless of which way it goes.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a pretty good chance of that. You know, 2 years ago, he tried to get in the NFL, and there were still questions about him. Each year that they've done really well, he's grown more attractive to the NFL. He's a guy who lost the Super Bowl. And I think, especially if he wins tonight, you know, how perfect would that be? Go bring back your alma mater to prominence, win a national title, go back and go win that Super Bowl. Because your brother is about to do it again, maybe.
He might. You know, Harbaugh just hopes he has a future. He's right there with all of
yes.
us.
Yes. That's right. Stuff, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. I mean, I guess technically, you know, maybe the Titans love them some Jim Harbaugh, and they want to throw themselves in the Jim Harbaugh mix here.
Maybe.
I'd be surprised by that, but I do agree. I agree with you that he's going to have, I think multiple teams will pursue him if he is available and wants to be back in the NFL.
Yes. And look, if Vrabel is not the coach of the Tennessee Titans, someone did ask, why don't they just trade for Belichick? Do a straight-up trade, Belichick for Vrabel. Hey, Belichick's got the house here, so he can come right back home. But
be tough news for us. Press conferences at 6:25 in the morning. Well, I guess we just air it live.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to go to him. Be all right. But, hey, look, if Vrabel is not
– on to Jacksonville.
Yeah. If Vrabel is not here, then why wouldn't Harbaugh be – on the wish list? Why wouldn't you? I mean, the whole thing
That's
is
thing.
Who's coming in? You want continuity with your young quarterback, but if you're going to make a change first year, okay. So then I think you're prioritizing a head coach who is, you hope, a quarterback whisperer. Now, the quarterback whisperer angle on Harbaugh faded some at Michigan because he had a lot of failed quarterbacks when he was close to being fired, but J.J. McCarthy has developed into a pro quarterback under him. Obviously, Andrew Luck, he coached him at Stanford. Colin Kaepernick played by far his best football, got him a Super Bowl under Harbaugh. So that's part of the appeal.
Certainly. And then there's like the other route.
We got
take.
The Titans hiring Harbaugh today.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh.
What a program. What a program.
I mean, then there's the other, you know, the other side of Bobby Slovic or, you know, Ben Johnson from the Lions. Like, could you go the younger offensive coach kind of guru route that we see a lot of teams going with right now? And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. You know, looking around the rest of the league right now, there's always some surprises usually on Black Monday of a coach getting fired that you're like, wow, didn't see that one coming. Could that be the Titans? I mean, this you went through the reporting earlier over the weekend of the Pelissero stuff and just the smoke that continues to be there about Vrabel and his future with the Titans. And there's so many different people around the league talking about it right now that it's hard for me to believe that it's just nothing. Like, he gets up there last week and says, of course he wants to be here as long as they can win and all that stuff. And I'm with you. Like, what else is he going to say in that situation? And I'm really interested to see how this plays out, because there's a whole lot of chatter about Mike Vrabel league-wide right now.
If you're a fan, but especially if you're a media person and you don't know what the deal is, I hope we can go back to last week, Vrabel, at that press conference, and understand that, like, it didn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Because I saw, including some people who cover the Times, like, yeah, the final word has been spoken. Everybody shut up. He's staying.
He shut it down.
He said what you, of course, have to say in the situation.
Right.
So, again, worth asking the question, and that's fine, but it didn't mean a whole lot. And the smoke can't just be ignored. It cannot be ignored. You always ask, who is out there doing it and why? Who is creating this noise and why? You know, these guys like these people, you know, Tom Pelissero and Schefter and Diana Russini for us at The Athletic. I mean, they cover the whole league.
Yeah.
So, you know, like they may be calling and trying to find out what's going on, but like this is someone creating noise. So why is that?
It's a great question. And there's a lot of noise that's been created on the Vrabel front, which – again, makes things really interesting to monitor today. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Your final thoughts on the Titans for the day, Derrick Henry's performance yesterday, Mike Vrabel, what his future could be. We'll take a look at the playoff matchups that are finalized in the NFL as well. I'm excited about Wild Card Weekend coming up. We'll get into all that coming up next. This Monday, tune in at 6:30 as Washington and Michigan, which is tonight, face off in the College Football Playoff National Championship game, only on 1025-1063 The Game, presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, bud. Hey, man. I'm not going to fall for this. This is a trick. When they go out and they look good in Week 18, and it doesn't matter if you look good in Week 18, that's a trap. You do not need to think of how you felt before that game. And before I felt before that game was changes need to come. If we get something for Vrabel, cool. If not, cut him. Like, we need a statement today. And I love that you're like, hey, expect anything. Expect the unexpected. Like, I'm hoping that they make a big change, man. And I'm not – it's the same thing with Derrick Henry. I love him. I thought it was a great thing yesterday at the stadium, 150 yards. Like, he went out. That's a swan song. He went out the way he was supposed to. But he has not been the same running back either. And it may be because our team as a collective sucks. And I agree with that too. But I don't think you could keep him. Like, I think we both part. We need to part, man. We need to part with Vrabel, part with Henry. Have big changes. I want our ownership to come out and be an owner today, man. Like, do y'all understand? Like, do y'all feel that? Like, I want our ownership to step up. I want her to actually be present in the moment. I want to hear Rand Carthon today. Like, I want leadership to be leaders today.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate
you
it.
You want a lot, Adam. Jeez. Pick one. No, I understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I don't expect anybody to – have their, like, if you were out on Vrabel and you want him gone, I don't expect yesterday to, like, change your mind. I would disagree that he should be fired, and I would say his entire tenure should be considered. But, no, I don't expect yesterday, like, it's some huge turnaround.
They beat Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all seriousness, Adam, I'm with you on Carthon. I'm with you on Strunk.
Yep.
I won't be shocked if Rand Carthon talks this week. I'll be surprised if Amy Adams Strong talks this week.
I will be too. Let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in David. David, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Good.
Good. Okay, here's my thoughts. Okay. Vrabel, 2 years ago, maybe three, was the coach of the year. Okay? If you want to get rid of him, get rid of him. If you want to keep him, you want to keep him. But the one thing you have to think, there's not too many coaches of the year out there looking for a job with this team. I mean, if you're going to cut him, you've got to replace him. Who are you going to replace him with? You got another coach of the year somewhere that's willing to come out of retirement or drop their team and come over? I don't think Andy Reid's looking to jump ship, you know? So, I mean, you have to look at it on both sides of it. You could get rid of him, but who are you going to get to replace him that's any better?
Yep, thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. Well, I mean, I hear that, and I hear what he's saying. Now, also, you know, Vrabel at one time had never been a coach before either, and then it was pretty obvious that he was a good coach. So it's not like you can't go find another coach and a good coach. And look, you know, I mean, Ron Rivera's out there. He's been a good coach for a long time. You talk about coach of the year, like Patriots may move on for Belichick. You can go find coach of the year out there. But I hear what David is saying.
Well, let's go through the league real quick, just off the cuff. First-time head coaches, Zach Taylor, Kevin Stefanski. I mean, actually, Tomlin and Harbaugh are both first-time head coaches, too. It's just that they were hired a long time ago. DeMeco Ryans looks pretty good. Shane Steichen looks pretty good. Who am I forgetting?
LaFleur.
You know, obviously, McVay and Shanahan are first-time head coaches who had not been head coaches. Your boy, Matt LaFleur, you better give him some love. Little my goddamn Campbell out there. I just called him damn Campbell. Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell.
Which is what Lions fans should have been screaming when he kept going for two over and over again. But the point being, I mean, Nick Sirianni until recently looked pretty good. Yeah, the point being, I mean, a lot of successful head coach in the NFL, like they get their chance and then they're successful. Like,
exactly.
I'd kind of rather, if I were a team looking to hire a coach, hire someone who's an up-and-coming coach. Now, look, if you have a proven coach in his prime, great. I mean, if you got a Super Bowl winning coach in his prime, okay, do that. Like, if somebody had a chance to hire Andy Reid, hire Andy Reid.
Sure.
But a lot of the success in this league right now is being engineered by first-time head coaches.
Well, I mean, look, you know, DeMeco Ryans had never been a head coach, and he did a heck of a job his first year in Houston, right? Like, somebody that gets hired in this cycle, and I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it's Ben Johnson. Who knows? But somebody that gets hired as a first-time coach in this cycle is gonna do great next year, and they're gonna you know, do better than expectations, and that fan base is gonna be excited. So I mean, part of it is like as an organization, and this is part of being a general manager, part of being an owner. Like you got to find ways to help you identify good coaches. Like you got to go identify and interview and make the right decisions on your hires and your coaches and your general managers. So I mean, a lot of that's on the ownership, on the general manager, all that stuff too. If you decide to go this way and Vrabel's out at the end of the day, then the onus is now on you to go find a coach that is better and go do it. Go do your job and adequately replace that guy.
If that's how it goes down and Rand Carthon is here and Vrabel's not, then Carthon, I think it's him hiring the coach, and then you're back to the same sort of arrangement you had with Robinson and Vrabel. But at least then we'll all know what the arrangement is. Best text of the day, why not bring Arthur Smith back as an enforcer who opposing coaches need their asses kicked? This is a very good point. I mean, he's kind of imposing. We have not put him into the mix of, you know, if we had a coach octagon with like Vrabel and Dan Campbell and Tomlin. Arthur Smith, he's a little kind of like me, so I want to be clear, a little doughy. But he's kind of, he's a little bit scary, man.
He certainly gets mad, that's for sure.
Yes, he does.
And get rid of that stash, then he's a little bit less imposing that way.
I think he's tougher without it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why, but a little scarier without it.
Joe, very quickly, what do you make of the playoff matchups in the NFL? I'm excited for Wild Card Weekend coming up.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, you know, although I'm disappointed in the Dolphins, I am kind of glad we don't get the Dolphins-Bills right away.
Agreed.
Again in Miami. So I like that. Look, I mean, Lions-Rams is fascinating. Two quarterbacks who got given up on by the other team. I mean, that's, you know, how do you beat that? Also, your Packers. I mean, your Packers and Cowboys, to me, those I think are the best two games, those two NFC games. And I hope that Dolphins-Chiefs lives up to – you know, shootout that we could have. And also, C.J. Stroud at home against that Browns defense is, of course, that gets the AFC South automatically gets the 3:30 Saturday game.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm excited for that one.
Joe Flacco leading the Browns in there. It's going to be fun to see what that game looks like.
C.J. Stroud was big time the other night. That's
that last drive, I think he went, 7-7 for like 80 yards and a touchdown. Kid looks great.
You know, say what you will about Ray Ran, and who knows what we'll be talking about tomorrow.
Who knows?
But they like C.J. Stroud a lot.
They did.
That's pretty good player evaluation.
They did. Rumor has it they really liked him some C.J. Stroud, and then all of a sudden the Texans did too. It's good stuff.
How about that?
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Could be an interesting day here, Joe. Keep your eyes peeled out there.
Yeah, head on a swivel today, folks.
Head on a swivel on Black Monday. We'll see what happens on that front. And whatever happens, we'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe will join us. Joe, very much looking forward to Big Joe's rant on Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah,
he
better take it to Tannehill. We'll see. Dare you, Tannehill?
We're back 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.